You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Over the past few months, protesters have tried to stop the construction of a marina in Pūtiki Bay, arguing the construction will harm the local environment and that there hasn't been sufficient consultation with mana whenua. I reached out to Kit Littlejohn, director of the Kennedy Point Marina, to ask his thoughts on the protesters. I started by asking him whether he was surprised by the significantly negative reaction to the development.
Yeah, absolutely. The project turned up on the island with the full backing of its resource consent. Lots of people very interested and excited about the project. I mean, what we knew, there were some people who were opposed to it, and they sort of spoke up during the consent process, but sort of really had no idea that it would come to this, really, that the protests would turn into an occupation, which has now turned into police conflict.
Do you think their complaints are reasonable at all? Do you understand where they're coming from?
It's difficult to get a sense of exactly what their complaints are. We've endeavoured to try and suggest a round table in a safe space with a facilitator to hear what the concerns are. I mean, I tell you what I have been able to glean is that there are a range of issues that they're unsatisfied about. Mostly, I think, the fact that the project got approved in the first place.
Specifically on some of the environmental issues, though, from what I can tell, there's some concern around penguins and some other environmental things. Have you addressed those at all? Has there been any sort of compromises made?
Well, the compromises effectively were made in the resource consent that was granted. And in fact, they weren't compromises at all, Noah. They were provisions that the company offered from an early stage to manage construction and the operation of the marina, knowing that there were penguins nesting in that breakwater. And so there are quite specific construction conditions around the time of the day that you can work so you don't disrupt penguins coming and going. There are monitoring programs. There's specific management techniques to deal with the potential for penguins to be in the breakwater where we want to work. So to that extent, penguins have been front and centre from day one and incorporated right into the resource consent.
Has there been much direct contact with the Protect Pūtiki protesters?
Only through a third party, and obviously our construction team on the site have a direct liaison with the key organisers of those groups. They're on a first name basis, and they discuss matters on a daily basis. So that's what I can say.
So what sort of matters are they discussing on a daily basis?
Who's doing what? What each party intends to do that day? Advice that there's a active construction zone and that trespassing will occur if you go in there. Those sorts of very operational things.
One of the protesters' main complaints, from what I can tell, is that mana whenua weren't consulted. From your perspective, was there much consultation with local iwi?
Yeah, absolutely. The first people that were ever contacted about the possibility of this project were Ngāti Pāwa, Morehu Wilson, a senior kaumātua of Ngāti Pāwa, and then there was a lot of consultation with the Iwi Trust. We also went out to the 17 other mana whenua of Tāmaki and sought their views. Ngāi Tai Ki Tāmaki came in and said they'd like to provide a CVA on the project. We continued all of that through the application. We designed aspects of the proposal to take on board their feedback. When it was publicly notified, there weren't any submissions by mana whenua representative entities. And indeed, the Iwi Trust supported the project with evidence at the Environment Court hearing. It was really only after the consent was granted that the Trust Board, who were an entity that had represented Ngāti Pāwa pre-2013, sort of came back to light and started to express their opposition to the project. But since then, we've done our best to keep both the Iwi Trust, the Trust Board, Ngāi Tai, all informed about what's going on and engage them where we can. I think that the issue is that the consultation is really on the premise that we've already sort of got approval for the project and they don't want it. So, there's the discussions proceed on that basis.
So over the past couple of weeks, there's been a bit of an escalation, and there were reports of violence from the construction workers towards the protesters. What's your response to that? Are those construction workers working for you, is that right?
The construction workers are not involved in any of these sorts of incidents, although they have been threatened and are regularly abused by protesters. They're sort of on the receiving end of that aggression. The security company that was on site have been endeavouring to take a passive role in the face of these sorts of activities, but I don't know if you've seen the other film footage that ended up in the media. It was very much a... The clip that went out was a very small part of a much broader confrontation that involved trespassers into the area. I mean, in fact, those activities on site last week were a direct response, you know, directly led to activities on site yesterday where the police sort of took over and went in there and arrested various protesters.
I have seen at least some of the video, and it does seem that a construction worker kicks a protester in the face. Even if there is conflict instigated by protesters towards workers, surely workers should not be reacting to that with violence?
Well, yeah, I guess it depends where you sit on this. I guess the first point I make is that the issue of the ability to trespass a person is protected at law, and if a person uses force to do that and that force is unreasonable, then they are liable to being charged. And all I can say is the footage of that event, along with the events that preceded it, are all with the police, and the company and the personnel involved are assisting with their inquiries. I mean, this is a matter for the police to resolve now. My opinion on it is not worth anything.
That was Kit Littlejohn, director of the Kennedy Point Marina. I wanted another perspective on this issue to better understand what the protests were all about, so I reached out to Forrest and Bird, who have argued the development will harm the environment. I spoke to Lizzie Fechner-Heather and started by asking her for Forrest and Bird's perspective on the development. The fancy new band from Morning Glory was playing at the same time while I was doing this interview, so if you're lucky, you'll get a bit of a musical interlude while I'm trying to ask some questions.
Consent was granted for the marina, I think, about 4 years ago, and Forrest and Bird did appeal the consent, so we were not keen on the marina going ahead, mainly because, I mean, the Hauraki Gulf is already in a state of decline, and just more intensive coastal development is just not needed in the Hauraki Gulf. And also Waiheke Island in that area, of course, where the marina is going to be, it was home to korora, so the native little blue penguin, which are an at-risk and declining species. So in general, Forrest and Bird probably, I mean, not keen on the marina going ahead because of those reasons. In terms of the protest, we of course support, you know, peaceful protest, and we support and acknowledge people's right to protest for what they believe in. And from my understanding, the protesters, they are protesting, of course, because of their concerns on the korora and also around consultation or lack of consultation with correct groups in terms of the consenting process. So we do support protesters. We don't obviously support violent protests, but we do acknowledge and respect people's right to peacefully protest.
So consultation seems to be sort of a crucial issue around the whole protest. I just spoke to director of the project, Kit Littlejohn, who said there was sufficient consultation and claimed there were only complaints once everything had been granted. What's your perspective on that?
It's been a really long journey with that marina. So, like I said, the consent was granted 4 years ago, and during that process, of course, that gives people the opportunity to provide submissions and provide their input into the consent or into the proposed project. Forrest and Bird provided input, and despite that, you know, the consent was granted. Forrest and Bird did appeal it, and through that process there were conditions that were developed, so extra conditions that were developed to put in place to protect the korora. In terms of the consultation with mana whenua or iwi, I mean, it's difficult for me to comment. It's not really my place to comment, but from my understanding, I think, the issue really lies with Auckland Council, whereby the iwi trust, so the Ngāti Power iwi trust, were consulted with. However, subsequently, the Ngāti Power Trust Board were actually recognised as holding mandate for any RMA-related issues. So my understanding is that they should have also been consulted during that process, but they weren't. And that is causing, obviously, and quite, you know, reasonably is causing issues now. So I think that it's, yes, people have become really concerned about the marina recently, and I think that's just as a result of construction actually starting, because there was a long gap between consent and construction. So, yeah, that's probably my comments around the construction and the issues around consultation.
After speaking to the director of the development in Pūtiki and a conservationist group, I thought I should also speak to a protester firsthand to see whether they agreed with Kit Littlejohn's perspective. As you can probably guess, they didn't. I spoke to Protect Pūtiki spokesperson Emily Weiss and started by asking her whether she agreed with Littlejohn's assertion that there was sufficient consultation.
So we know that Auckland Council granted the developer 7.3 hectares of the moana, and we know that the Ngāti Power Trust Board, who was the legally mandated entity at the time, never got to be heard with the values, the mātauranga of Ngāti Power. So the board that's represented, that's elected to represent our iwi, to put forward our cultural values, to put forward our mātauranga, our history, the history of Pūtiki or Kahu Matamomoe of that bay, never got to present this evidence, never got to advocate on behalf of our iwi for how significant this bay is. So that, plus the exclusion of so many hapu and individual uri, is all playing a part in the, a mass uprising and coming together of voices that are saying, we haven't been consulted and we need Te Tiriti to be upheld. And, you know, if the consultation process that the RMA allows for is failing, if minimal consultation by the developers is what they see as enough, clearly that's an issue with the Resource Management Act, with the low level of consultation with mana whenua, with tangata whenua, a whenua that is actually needed. So that's also a big part of the problem, is consultation in and of itself.
So do you think this is potentially as just as much of an issue with the council and their processes as Kennedy Point Marina?
Absolutely. I think this is points far beyond Pūtiki Bay. It points to the treatment that this government has to natural resources, to taonga, the lack of respect that is actually held for Māori connections to the taiao, to the moana, to the whenua, and that is what this kaupapa is. It's shedding light on how easily Māori voices are excluded when we also have a government who holds steadfast to commitments to upholding Te Tiriti, to respecting the relationships between Māori and non-Māori. But it's clear in this case that has not happened.
Specifically on the protest, do you see a compromise possible here? Kit Littlejohn told me Kennedy Point Marina had offered discussions and a sit-down with Protect Pūtiki, but it wasn't accepted. What's your perspective on that?
I don't know who from Protect Pūtiki was contacted. We want the negotiations to happen through the Crown. Ultimately, for us, this is about upholding Te Tiriti, and that's a right that is held by the government, by Te Tiriti partners, Auckland Council included. So those are the people who we're looking at entering into that dialogue with.
There seems to be an escalation in the past couple of weeks with the protests. I asked Kit Littlejohn about this, and he said while there was violence from the security guards, it was sort of instigated by the protesters. What's your stance on that, and also your stance on the recent police presence around protesters?
The idea that protectors are instigating or escalating ourselves is very funny when you look at the privately contracted investigation intel and security company, Warden Consulting, who's acting on behalf of Kennedy Point Boat Harbour Limited here on site. So we're looking at ex-police, ex-military men, and we as kaitiaki are young wahine, they're predominantly under 26 years old. And so this narrative that we are pushing or we are being violent, I think what they're perceiving is that it's just us saying no to a fee grab, to a moana grab. They're seeing any pushes against their power or what they perceive to be their power as violence. So to reframe what Kit Littlejohn, what Warden Consulting and what the developers are seeing as violence, we could turn it and say, hey, we are here to stop the violence and the destruction of this bay, and our wahine kaitiaki are the frontliners, and we're going through vulnerable and wetsuits swimming, and that is not much up when you look at it up against trained men who are using full force without fear of consequences against our young woman.
That was Emily Weiss from Protect Pūtiki.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.